God. God gives me the victory. Gives me the victory. Gives me the victory. Oh, thanks be to God.
Welcome to More Life Now, the radio outreach dedicated to helping you receive more of the abundant life God has given us. Today, Keith Moore is teaching from the Word of God, a series entitled, Hungry for the Holy Spirit. Stay tuned, because at the end of this broadcast, we'll be giving you information on how you can receive a free copy of today's teaching. And now, Brother Moore.
Would you turn with me this evening, please, to 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. There's something I'd like to, by the Lord's grace, introduce tonight. And I have it in mind to begin a new series. Is that all right with you? And it's something that we have been on before, I guess, what, 2 or 3 years ago now. We talked about, got into it quite a bit, but we got a whole crop of people with us that weren't here then. And not only that, but a whole lot of things we heard but didn't get. And not only that, we're believing for greater revelation. Right, always. 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, and the last verse. 12:31, 1 Corinthians. Covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. Notice that first part of the verse. Covet earnestly the best gifts. Gifts. You don't see this kind of language all the time through the scriptures, do you? Mm-hmm. What else did the Lord tell you? Covet this earnestly. Does the Lord know what is important? Yes. What is precious? Yes. What a person ought to earnestly desire and covet? Yes. Normally, when you see the word covet in the scriptures, or covetous, or covetousness, it's negative. It's don't covet. Don't covet. Don't covet. This is an exception. This is not usual with other portions where these words are used. And here he tells you to do it. Covet it. Somebody say covet. Why? It's a strong word. And it's supposed to get a hold of us and shake us and go, this is important. This is not something you're just supposed to want. This is something you're supposed to covet. You're supposed to earnestly desire it. What? The best gifts. And if you back up and read the preceding chapters, you see he's talking about the gifts of the Spirit, our spiritual gifts. Do we hunger for these? Do we desire these? Not as much as we're about to. We're going to preach on him. We're going to teach on him. You're going to meditate on him. I'm going to meditate on him. In between services. We're going to ask God to help us with it. And we're going to get stirred up. Until we get hungry. I mean, sure enough, hungry. Hungry. Not for biscuits and gravy. Hungry. Not for hamburgers and hot dogs. Hungry. Hungry. Not just for new clothes and new jewelry. Hungry. Not just for cars and houses. Hungry. Somebody say hungry. 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 For what? For the gifts of the Spirit. Somebody say hungry.
Hungry.
For the Holy Spirit.
For the Holy Spirit.
Say it again. Hungry. For the Holy Spirit.
For the Holy Spirit.
Have you ever been hungry for something?
Yes.
Most people nowadays in the States and a number of other places in the world, they don't even remember the last time they've been hungry physically. Somebody says, well, a lot of times people say, I'm hungry. And really, they just want something. It's time to eat. They just want something. But you go without food for a few days, and you'll get a revelation of hungry. You go longer than that, and you'll sure enough get a revelation. It's something in you that'll begin to drive you. I mean, it's hard not to think about food because your belly is just hollering at you, growling at you, saying, put something in here. Put something in here. And it gets louder and louder and louder. And most people won't let it go nearly that long. But can you be hungry for spiritual things just like you can be hungry for natural things? Can you be hungry for spirit food, the Word of God, just like you could be hungry for natural food, physical food? Can you be hungry for spiritual things just like people are hungry for natural things? You don't have to raise your hand. Nobody testify, but there's most people at different points in their life have been hungry for something. I know I've told you about myself. You know, as a boy, I coveted motorcycles. I mean, I thought about them night and day. In a study hall, I drew pictures of motorcycles. And here's something interesting. That and hot rods. Me and other boys, we'd talk about hot rods. And, you know, we'd complain about having to study for our math tests, geometry and algebra and all that stuff. We'd complain about all those numbers, having to remember them. But we could sit in study hall and I could tell you the compression ratios on a Hemi engine. I could tell you the ratios on the sprockets and the gears and, of course, a 0 to 60 times to the tenth of a second or less. Now learn something right there. Are we having any trouble remembering all these numbers if it's got an engine connected with it? But then we say, oh, these other numbers, they're too hard to remember, man. They're just, why? Because you're not interested in that. You remember what's important to you. Are y'all with me now? It's considered a universally acceptable excuse to say, I forgot. You know, I don't care whether children with parents, employees, employers, you know, whatever the case might be, teachers and students. Somebody says, what about so-and-so? And they go, I forgot. And people go, oh, they forgot. They forgot. No, that's not an acceptable excuse. Why did you forget? It wasn't important enough to you. If it was important to you, you remember it. So what you just got through saying to your parent, your employer, your teacher is, it wasn't very important to me. Well, we're having fun tonight, aren't we? I mean, but it's the truth. It's the truth. You remember what's important to you. Somebody said, hey, we bought you a new car and paid for it. Go pick it up 10 o'clock Saturday morning. Are you going to be Wednesday afternoon and go, and they call you and go, why didn't you come pick your car up? I forgot. I don't think so. No. You remember what's important to you. And when you're chronically forgetting stuff, I forgot, I'm sorry, I forgot, what you're saying is it wasn't important to me. It's not important to me. Especially when you keep forgetting the same thing over and over again. You're saying it's not important at all to me. Anybody can make a mistake, but... Well, what about this? If the gifts of the Spirit are important to us, we're not going to forget about them. We're not going to have to wait, you know, 2 or 3 years till the pastor teaches on it again for it to be on our mind. We'll be thinking about it. If it's something we covet earnestly, we'll get up thinking about it. We'll be thinking about it during lunchtime. We'll be thinking about it when we go home in the evening. We'll be thinking about it when we lay our head on the pillow. We'll get up, we'll go, we'll go to bed, we'll get up, we'll go to bed, thinking about it. Is it really that important that we should be thinking about this and have it on our mind and be earnestly coveting these things? Well, we got a ways to go, don't we? I said we got a ways to go. We got millions of Christians. They don't even believe in the gifts of the Spirit. They sure are not coveting them. We got other millions of Christians that believe in them on paper. Just on paper. In theory. But rarely think about them and never think about them manifesting in them. But you and I are going to change that. The people that's been thinking about it is going to think about it more. People that hadn't been thinking about it is going to start thinking about it.
Yes, sir.
And we're going to think of, what are we going to think about? Well, let's back up, remind ourselves of the gifts of the Spirit. In fact, this whole book built up to this point that we read here in the third chapter. Don't turn there, but 1 Corinthians, the third chapter, he talked to them at length about being, well, turn there. What are y'all laughing about? 1 Corinthians 3, verse 1. I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto what? So what are we talking about tonight? Spiritual gifts. Gifts of the Spirit. He said, I couldn't speak to you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal. Now, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, the Bible says. But they are mighty through God. Now, these gifts of the Spirit, they are not carnal. Carnal means is from the word for flesh. Carny. Flesh. Carnivore. Flesh. Flesh is what this is. And this, we also sometimes use the word natural. But really, flesh is the best word, like the Bible used. It's not a fleshy thing. The gifts, say it out loud, the gifts of the Spirit.
Are not fleshy.
What are they? They're spiritual. Now this is so important for us to make this distinction, and I'm going to keep on saying it different ways as the Lord helps us. The gifts of the Spirit are spiritual. They're all spiritual. Carnal people try to make them carnal.
And that concludes today's message by Brother Keith Moore. If you would like a free copy of today's teaching entitled, Gifts from God, you may write to More Life Ministries, Post Office Box 1010, Branson, Missouri 65615. Or you may call our offices at 417-334-9233. That's 417-334-9233. The offer number is R1304A. That's R1304A. And the message will be sent to you postage paid. For more information about this ministry, including an itinerary of upcoming meetings, please visit our website at morelifenow.org. Also, if you are visiting in our area, we invite you to attend service with us at Faith Life Church in beautiful Branson, Missouri. Service times are Friday evenings at 7:30 and Sunday mornings at 9 and 11. Thank you for joining us today, and be sure to tune in next time for More Life Now.